It's Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa.
Lakers Talk is on the air
on 710 ESPN.
If the Lakers aren't in the NBA Finals against the Brooklyn Nets, something happened. Either it was injury, something else came into play.
From the home of the 17-time world champion Lakers at LA Live.
At the end of the day, either the Westbrook deal will deliver for the Lakers and obviously put themselves in a position to win an NBA championship, or I'm going to be eating crow, but I'll take my chances on that.
Lakers Talk is on.
Here's Alan Sliwa.
All right, if you miss any part of the show, 1 hour in the books, 1 hour to go. ESPN app or on iTunes, just search Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa. Always get the full 2 hours. Thank you, everybody, tuning in live. And then, obviously, thank you to those who are driving around Southern California or listening on the app. A couple things here to get into on the NBA front. Let me throw it over to Michael Funches. He could take it from here.
All right. Like we were mentioning earlier, I think about half the NBA had their media days today.
Yeah.
Including the Clippers down the hall. And Kawhi was there, surprisingly. You didn't think he was going to be at the media day because of his injury situation. I mean, he's not going to be playing, probably won't be playing the whole year, Alan. But he did say, you know, the reason why he signed to Supermax is because he might have a possible return this season.
Okay.
Because I wanted to play. You know what I mean? I mean, the best situation for me, to me, was to do a 1-1 and then opt out and then sign a long-term 5-year deal. But, I mean, it's a lot of concerns that brings up, you know, for you guys and your job and to create storylines that I'm going to lead a team. So, one thing, wanted to secure some money, and I wanted to be able to come back. If I was able to this year, if I'd have took the 1-1, I probably would not play just to be cautious and, you know, opted out and took a 5-year. But I'm here. I'm here to be a Clipper. I'm not going to another team, you know, unless something, you know, drastic happens. But I'm here for the long run.
Kawhi says he's here for the long haul. Did you have any doubt that he was going to leave or wanted to leave at all, Alan?
No, I didn't. I really didn't. And that's more because there wasn't that much chatter around him leaving. You know, sometimes when they say there's smoke, there's fire, right? And a lot of times if there's a player, just use some of the players, this Kyle Lowry, there was, you know, chatter that it felt like, hey, he might actually go to another team. DeMar DeRozan, it felt like, hey, he's not going to re-sign with the San Antonio Spurs. You never really got that from Kawhi. So I think
we never get anything from Kawhi.
But I think that silence said a lot, that nobody really expected him to go anywhere. So I think I think it's interesting that he says he didn't sign a 1-year deal because some of that had to do with the way it would be perceived, the storylines that would have come out. That surprises me a little bit. I think, you know, for him, I get that there could be storylines, but you know, he could always shut down those storylines saying, this is just a business move. I'm going to sign a 1-year deal with a 1-year option, and then when I get the opportunity, I'm going to go ahead and sign that 5-year max. He could shut everybody up with that. I think sometimes the business side, you know, let me use this as an example. Steve Ballmer has not shown that he's not willing to make the Clippers competitive. Now, whether, you know, how successful he can be, they have not won an NBA championship. I don't think anybody's going to question Steve Ballmer is counting pennies, and you know he doesn't have interest in winning. I think he's shown that. So I'm surprised that Kawhi would have a little bit of influence from not wanting the media to kind of take a story and run with. I'll say this, you know, Funch, about the Clippers. Let's see what happens with Kawhi. Maybe he's able to come back in April. Maybe he's able to come back before the playoffs start. And if he is, the reality is they'll be one of the top teams in the Western Conference. I still think they'll be competitive, but, you know, can you really be that competitive without Kawhi in a long stretch? That's going to be tough.
I'll just say this. If they have no Kawhi for a majority of the season, I think they're going to be anywhere from a 6th to an 8th seed in the West. If they have Kawhi and he returns, you know, obviously that might go, you know, higher, obviously.
Okay, let me list out the teams, okay? You tell me which team is better against the Clippers, right?
All right.
Utah or the Clippers without Kawhi?
Kawhi. Mm-hmm. Utah.
Utah's a better team. Phoenix or the Clippers?
Phoenix, we saw it.
Phoenix is the better team. Lakers or the Clippers?
Lakers.
Okay,
obviously.
There's three right there. Denver or the Clippers?
Denver. Oh, man.
I think it's Denver.
Okay, yeah, Denver, yeah.
Without Kawhi.
Without Kawhi.
Okay, there's four. Let's keep going. Dallas or the Clippers?
Definitely Dallas.
Dallas took them seven games with Kawhi there.
Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi had to bail them out.
Right. That's five teams. Who am I missing?
Golden State.
Golden State. Warriors, no question about it.
Yeah, Warriors, no doubt.
So I think you know where you're going to see the Clippers? The Clippers are going to be on the level of like a Portland Trailblazers team.
There you go.
They're going to be on that type of level without Kawhi, right? Now, if Kawhi comes back, a lot of those teams that I mentioned, I would take Kawhi over those teams, or I would take the Clippers over those teams. We just don't know when Kawhi is going to come back.
All right, Slee, we'll move over to the next one. Giannis, Greek Freak, says he's not satisfied after winning the title.
Okay.
Giannis says, are we satisfied? I'm not satisfied. I'm not even close to being satisfied. That's the tone we have to set as a team. As the leader of this team, that's the tone I'm going to set. We understand that teams are coming for us, but we're going to be ready. Now, Allen, dude, that's how I want my superstar to talk right there.
I love it. And, you know, there's something about, as much as I can sit here and say, well, you know, the Bucks won a championship because Brooklyn was injured. Phoenix got to the finals because AD went down. And Kawhi Leonard got injured. We could sit here. I mean, I go through a laundry list. And the Golden State Warriors, Clay wasn't. I could do all that. It's all irrelevant when the dust settles. Because every single year in every single sport, you got to have a little bit of luck, and unfortunately, injuries are a part of the game. Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. Funches, doesn't it seem like there's got to be such a burden lifted off his shoulders, off Budenholzer, can't even pronounce his last
Budenholzer,
name.
Budenholzer.
Budenholzer's shoulders, and Chris Middleton's shoulders, and Drew Holiday's shoulders. These guys, I don't want to say they're playing with house money this upcoming season, but bro, you got one. You got one. You know, when you got that one, now all of a sudden, you know, you're going to come back even more confident than you have. Wait, we've been in this predicament before. We've been in this situation before. We won an NBA championship. Giannis was so amazing in that final game where they clinched. Yes, I love it. I love what Giannis just said. Do I realistically think if the Brooklyn Nets are healthy that the Milwaukee Bucks can beat the Brooklyn Nets? No, I do not. I really genuinely don't think they can beat them. But, you know, what do you got to lose? You already got one. You got a championship. So you don't have to not everything's riding on this 1 year. And I like Giannis saying that he's – by the way, did you see some of his – I think the Bucks put out a video. The dude was warming up. He's back in the gym.
Yeah, yeah.
What is that? What is that dude? I mean, when I see this guy warming up, of course he has his shirt off. I'm like, I'm going to put on a sweater. I'm going to put on a sweater.
You know, I'm going to go Michael Thompson one time right now. Do you see his arms? Do you see the size of his arms?
Stupid.
Really, really. I know. So we'll go on to the next one. Denver's Michael Porter Jr. just signed an extension for 5 years, $207 million. And I don't know, Alan. I mean, I didn't think he was worth $200 million. Did you think he's worth $200 million?
Okay, so I think, you know, from what I understood from the report is it could be up to $207 million. 5 year rookie max, so he's going to get the 5 year rookie max of $172 million. If he makes one of the three all NBA teams this season, I think that's when it could go up to 207. So he's got to hit. There's some things he's going to have to hit for it to get to 207.
That's a good chance he might make the third team. I mean, he did average 19 points last year on 54% shooting. That's good enough to get you on a third team, I think.
Okay, so I'm a big fan of Michael Porter Jr., okay? A big fan. And it's funny, a year ago, I want to say, you know, Michael was talking a lot about Michael Porter Jr., but he was talking about him. I almost thought, you know, he was overvaluing him. I'm like, damn, I mean, is Michael Porter really this good? This is when Jeremy Grant was still on Denver, and yeah, Jeremy Grant had a fantastic playoff run, right? And then they went out and they just paid Aaron Gordon. Remember, I think a week ago we were talking about them paying Aaron Gordon. So now they're coming out playing Michael Porter Jr. If you'd have told me Michael Porter Jr. made $110 million over 5 years, he just signed that type of a deal, I would tell you, damn, that's a great contract. Good for Michael Porter Jr. Love it. That's a smart move. That's crazy. This dude's about to get $207 million. But let me put that to the side for a quick second. I really, really, really like what Denver's doing. I really like what the Denver Nuggets are doing.
They're going to be a force.
Here's the beauty if you're a Denver Nuggets fan. they're not just going to be a force and they're all in this year. These dudes are young.
Yeah,
they're incredibly
yeah.
young. So you can have a five-year plan with the Denver Nuggets and say, if we bring back Jamal Murray and Jokic and Michael Porter and Aaron Gordon, we find some other players that we can kind of support the rest of our roster with. Listen, at some point the Lakers are going to, you know, LeBron James can't do what he's doing forever. They are going to be one of those teams that are hanging in with every team in the Western Conference, and they'll have a shot. I really think they're going to have a shot to come out of the Western Conference over the next few years. And as much as they're going to pay Michael Porter Jr., you and I can have our opinion on that. The mere fact that they're building the way they're building, I'm a fan of it.
Their top four players, Nikolai Jokic, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, they're all in her early 20s to mid-20s. So not only they're going to be a force this season, next season, they're going to be a force for like the next 5 years if they keep these guys together.
That's how you do it, right? If you're one of those teams where you're not going to go out and be able to kind of attract real superstars, they're building from within, they're paying those guys. And listen, we saw it. Lakers saw it. A year ago today, the Lakers beat the Denver Nuggets to advance to the NBA Finals and face the Miami Heat. That Denver team, you know what was missing in that Denver team? Experience.
Yeah, experience.
That's what
exactly.
was missing.
Exactly.
Okay, go through a couple years, go through the ups and downs, go through the grind. Jamal Murray getting back. Let's see what the Denver Nuggets can do. But that could be a team to reckon with over the next few years.
All right, quickly to the last one. Jason Kidd, new Mavericks head coach Jason Kidd, says Luka Doncic needs to rely on his teammates. Kidd says, I don't know if anyone told Picasso that he has to use all of his paints, but I just want to remind him that he can rely on his teammates. His teammates are going to be there to help him. I'm very excited to have this opportunity to work with a young Picasso whose paintings have been incredible up to this point and are only going to get better. Sliwa, do the Mavericks need somebody else other than Luka, or could they win, with the guys around him?
All right, let me break down what Jason Kidd is saying. Jason Kidd was one of the best point guards to ever play the game, and he can make a team that – remember that New Jersey team he took to the finals?
Oh, yeah.
Richard Jefferson
Keith
was
Van
on
Horn,
that team.
Richard
Keith
Jefferson, Van Horn, Kerry Kittles.
Okay. Exactly. He can make do as best as he can with that type of squad. There comes a point where you're going to face a team like Jason Kidd did against the Lakers. And you know what ultimately was going to win? Talent. Superstars are going to win.
When they get swept. They got swept in that finals, too.
Luka's a superstar. We're going to get into those rankings that come out, and everybody goes crazy every time they see him. Luka, I think, was fourth on that list, maybe fifth, something like that. Okay, top five in the NBA. Luka's so good, Funch. He is so good.
So good.
Took the Clippers 7 games. Bro, I don't want to hear about Picasso and painters and all that stuff. Get the dude some talent around him, okay? As much as you want to, sit back and say he's got to rely on his teammates, he's got to do all that, he's right. You know what? You do got to rely on your teammates. But you also got to have talent. The second best player on their team can't be Tim Hardaway Jr. And, there's
Damn,
been
no,
already.
No Porzingis love, man? Jeez.
No, not enough. Porzingis, if he's the third best player on a championship team, you got some. If he's the third best player on Dallas's team, you got something. If he's not and he's the second best player, they're going to be one and out, maybe at best a second round, and they're gone. Luka can only do so much. I hear Jason Kidd. They need more talent. All right, Brad Turner from the LA Times coming up next. He covers the Lakers for the LA Times. Got a lot of stuff I want to get into him. Let's get his opinion on a potential starting lineup for the Lakers. Does he think the Lakers should look more at Talen Horton-Tucker? What can we expect here in the preseason? So all that coming up next. Brad Turner, we'll take more of your phone calls at 8:30. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I appreciate you guys being a part of the show. We'll have Brad Turner from the LA Times on here shortly. Lakers taking on the Brooklyn Nets on Sunday. Yes, the Los Angeles Lakers taking on the Brooklyn Nets this upcoming Sunday. That means the 2021, 2022 season is going to be underway. Media day tomorrow. You hear a lot of these promos that have been running today and certainly during the show. 10 to noon is media day. So right in the heart of my show with Travis Rogers. So we'll get a chance to obviously connect with a lot of these Laker players. All right, welcoming in Brad Turner from the LA Times. BT, first of all, great to connect with you. I know it's been a while, and I just are you ready? I mean, are you ready for the 82-game grind, 88-game grind, and the playoffs? You ready to get back to work?
Well, the first thing I got to say is bonsoir, c'est bon. I'm ready for Patty. Yes, I'm ready. Are you kidding me?
I like it.
I am
like
ready for all of this.
So for those who don't know, but I think a lot of people know, BT, you do some international traveling in the off season, which is fantastic. And the beauty is we got to live through you over the summer through Twitter and I think Instagram as well. But how long were you out in? I know you were in France. Where else did you go?
Alan, I was in Paris for 34 days.
Look at
you. I went
you.
To Bordeaux for a couple of days to do some wine tasting. Then I came back to Paris. Mm-hmm. I went out to Reims, Hans. Uh-huh. It's spelled R-E-I-M-S, but it's pronounced, I think, Hans, to do some champagne tasting. I came back to Paris. I went to Amsterdam for 3 days to hang out with some friends. Then I came back to Paris again. So I was living my best life. Life that you can live, believe me.
Listen, BT, you're my idol. And, you know, forget who else we connect with during the Lakers season. That's it. You're my idol. You're who I'm striving to be. Okay. So we start with Lakers media day tomorrow. And, you know, kind of get your thoughts on a couple things here. I guess as the dust settles, and I know it's super early, but there was a good article that came out of The Athletic, and I referenced it a couple times today. Shams Charania, Sam Amick, Bill Orme, all fantastic at the job they do. And one of the topics you can say was conversation about starting lineup. Now, I still think it's, you know, so incredibly early. Do you think Lakers during the regular season will use Anthony Davis at the five, ask him to play the five more? Is that and LeBron to play the four? Do you think that's a priority as we come into this season? Or do you think kind of the way they've done it in the past, AD will play the five when he needs to, primarily if it's in the playoffs, but it's not going to be, you know, kind of an all-in thing in an 82-game grind. How do you think the Lakers approach that specifically?
Well, you know, I'll start with when Russell first talked with LeBron and AD and Jared Dudley when he was still on the team. Well, he was a free agent then. The conversation sort of went about Russell trying to fit in, you know, something I wrote back in August. And then he was, I just want to win, was what Russell said. Then the conversation turned to AD. If it's required of you to play center, to start at center, will you do it? His answer was, yes, I will start at center if that's what requires of me. Then it turned to LeBron James. If you're asked to pay power forward because that's best for the team, best for the group, will you do that? His answer was yes, because we now have a proven point guard, playmaker, with Russell if he joins this team. Well, Russell's on the team now. So the conversation was already had among the three of them on what's the best way to use the top two players on the team, LeBron and AD, and they both were in line with that. Now, you obviously have Dwight there. You obviously have DeAndre Jordan there. The conversation now shifts a little bit more, and because the Lakers lost two great wing players on defense, KCP and Caruso, the defense now, I think, plays from inside out, meaning rim protection versus wing defenders. And let's be honest, Dennis Schroeder was also a pretty good defender. They don't have that right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, Trevor Ariza I think he's a good wing defender. You know, he's, you know, not the great athlete he once was. So what does the defense be at its strongest point at? And how do you get that? Is it with AD playing starting at center, or would it be with AD playing power forward, LeBron playing small forward, and starting either Dwight Howard or DeAndre Jordan, where you have rim protection? But with the way the league is played right now, with all of the pick and rolls, three-point shooting, penetrates, live passes, outside shooting and three-point shooting is key in this game. So it's a tough decision to have to make. But look, if we look at Milwaukee, they started with Brook Lopez, right?
Sure.
At center.
Sure.
But when it came down to the time to win games, you basically had Giannis playing center. And he was damn good at it.
Well, BT, and I think that's
– I'm starting to believe that it's going to be – I mean, it's a lot of, they have options. But I think a lot will be based on just, you know, what's going to be that best defensive team.
Yeah, and I think, BT, with that, I think there's – you can make a case. You could definitely make an argument that, hey, AD at the five, that gets like – I say to this when I hear that conversation is I think I'm more of the – I like what they did a year ago when it was – Dwight and it was JaVale, and also with always the caveat, hey, if AD needs to play the five, AD plays a five. Simple as that. I think in an 88-game grind, do I think it's, you know, necessary to have AD at the five in every single game? I don't think it's necessary, and I don't know. You know, they have 2 7-footers that can kind of make sure to kind of help with that load. But we'll see how things play out, and I think that's going to be kind of an interesting conversation. Just to kind of stay with this starting lineup, kind of from a starter's perspective, I think THT has a shot of being a starter. And if you don't think he's got a shot, what kind of how much do you think the Lakers will depend on THT? What are they expecting from a 20-year-old in a championship type of season? What do you think we could expect from THT, and what do you think they expect from him?
You know, I just don't foresee him being a starter, because with that group, you need someone that can stretch the floor and someone that can shoot the ball, right? Russell penetrates. He gets to the rack. AD, really, he can shoot it pretty well, but you really want him, you know, let's say 18 feet in. LeBron at his best getting to the basket. If you have it off, and what does Taylor do? Gets to the basket. You need someone that can not only be a threat, but can make outside shots. That's why I don't foresee Taylor being a starter. He may be the key sixth man off the bench, but you just got to be able to open the court up so you can be your most effective during the course of a game.
Brad Turner taking some time to join. Brad Turner from the LA Times taking some time to join Lakers Talk. Lakers Media Day starts tomorrow. You can actually hear all our coverage right here, 10 to noon. Travis and I will do our show from 10 to 1. BT, I was in I'm curious to know how much you know about this, but multiple sources reading today told The Athletic that Coach Vogel's extension that was announced back on August 6 added only 1 year to his contract, securing him through the 2022-2023 season. Your thoughts on Coach, if it was a 1 year extension, do you think that, you know, strategically is the right move, specifically because it aligns with LeBron's contract and it aligns with Russell Westbrook's contract? Or you think Vogel should have been thought of beyond just those 2 years that are left in front of him?
And look, Frank Vogel won an NBA championship his very first year coaching the Lakers. If that's not enough to get you a longer extension, then I don't know what is. I think he's deserving of a long extension. And look, he's a damn good coach, okay? Great defensive coach. And he communicates well. I just think that, and on top of that, Alan, he's a damn good person. That's a good man. So when you add all of those things together, I think just to be fair, he deserves more than that. But I don't make those decisions. I don't sign those checks. But if I did, I would have given him more years than that, not just to align with LeBron's contract when it ends or Russell when it ends, because they still have a guy there by the name of Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. He'll still be there unless you trade him. You're not going to do that. You know, so I think he deserves more. But if it's in fact true that it's only one more year, then Frank Vogel would not complain. He would do his job.
Brad Turner from the LA Times covers the Lakers for the LA Times, taking some time to join Lakers Talk. BT, it's, you know, I think one of the bigger storylines are going to come out this year, obviously the addition of Russell Westbrook with the Lakers. And there were a lot of reports about how bad Russell Westbrook wanted to be a Los Angeles Laker. And, you know, I think for those, that there's two camps right now on the Westbrook front, which I think most of them are optimistic, they're positive. Here's a playmaker, here's somebody that could take some of the pressure off LeBron James when it comes to orchestrating things. I mean, you and I saw it so much since LeBron has been a Laker. When that guy goes to the bench, it's really tough for the Lakers to kind of still excel. There's so much, they depend so much on LBJ to really do everything. Russ's first season with the Lake Show, how much do you think this is going to be a challenge for him adjustment-wise? Do you think it's a challenge for him to accept third fiddle on a team with LeBron and Anthony Davis? Or do you think right when the ball is, you know, tipped off from the get-go on Sunday, he thrives in this role and finds a way to be obviously an asset to the Lakers and help win championship number 18?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, Russell only knows how to play one way. And I would think if the conversation goes such that Biden AD telling him, Russ, play your game. Play the way you always played. You know how to play this game. You know how to play it the right way. And things will work out that way. Don't pull back any at all. I mean, obviously, you've got to be smarter at times, at times where we just can't jack up shots. But Russell knows that. He's a very intelligent individual. And as I wrote all the way back in August when the trade was made, Russell's response was, I want to win games. I want to win the NBA championship. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes. If it means playing off the ball at times so LeBron has the basketball, I would do that. So I don't worry about Russell. And I think he finds a way to actually fit in with the group. It won't be easy. It'll take some time. And there may be moments where we're going, what's wrong with Russell? Why isn't he that same revved up 1,000 mile per hour guy? And it could be strategic with him trying to figure out how do I play the right way with LeBron and AD. But I think it's going to work out. The one thing I know about Russell Westbrook, he will play hard all the time.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I know a lot of Laker fans are looking forward to seeing him. Final one, BT, and again, I always appreciate your time. ESPN did their top 100 NBA players, and I know this always gets people love kind of seeing, okay, well, who's in the top 10, who's in the top 20, who's in the top 5? AD hit at number 9, and a year ago, AD was at number 2. We can sit here and try to make arguments, this player, more important, that, availability, injuries, all that stuff. If the Lakers are going to win championship number 18 this year, where does AD have to be amongst the greats in the NBA? What kind of season is he going to have if the Lakers win another one?
So, number one, he has to be healthy. If he's healthy and his body is holding up, then I think he ends up playing great basketball. Because we've seen him play his best when his body does not betray him. So it starts there. And where does he need to be? AD can be one of the best, has been one of the best two-way players in the league. If he continues to be that player that we can that plays defense, that can score in a block, that can get the ball and go to the hoop with it, can shoot threes, then they have a good chance to win. He just needs to be the best version of Anthony Davis that we've seen, especially the year they won the championship. But he has to be healthy to do those things.
BT, always appreciate the time, my man. Enjoy the rest of your night. I'm sure we'll get a chance to hear each other and see each other in some of this media day stuff. So thank you for the time, buddy.
You know what's great about this? You didn't say one word about Michael Thompson. Hold on, I just did.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Thanks,
well, actually, hey, we'll see you on Sunday at the Lakers Brooklyn Nets preseason game.
Absolutely.
IBT. Thank you, brother. That's Brad Turner there from the LA Times. I'm going to play off of something. There's a reason why I wanted to ask that last question about AD's rank and this and that. So ESPN did their top 100. This happened late last week. AD ranked at number 9. Russell Westbrook ranked at number 29. LeBron ranked at number 3. I have some thoughts on a couple of these. One player that I really don't care where they're ranked. A couple others that I think it's going to be important to see what they do this upcoming year. We'll do that coming up next. If you want to be a part of Lakers Talk, any of these topics that we've hit on so far, Lakers starting lineup, what that should look like. Should AD play the 5? Coach Vogel, you heard Brad Turner say Vogel deserves a longer extension if it's disrespectful that he didn't get a longer extension. 877-710-ESPN. This is Lakers Talk on ESPN LA.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Got a chance to join Jim Hill this Saturday. Talk a little Lakers basketball on his Sports Central.
That's some strong praise from Jim Hill, man. That's some strong praise you.
Yeah, Jim Hill, first of all, that dude is just the best in the business. He really, really is. I spent having that conversation with BT. A couple things came from that, and I spent some time last week doing this ESPN. They ranked the top 100 players, and I always take it with a grain of salt. Sometimes I think that some of these rankings and power rankings might be a little curveball in the mix. Maybe gets you create some storylines. Believe it or not, I think that's part of the mix. But I actually, seeing where each one of these players were ranked, and I'm talking about the Lakers' big three, Russ was at 29. Last year he was 36, so moves up a couple slots. One of the things Russell Westbrook's not going to have to worry about this upcoming season, he's not going to have to worry about everything on his shoulders. We know that. Russell Westbrook's going to be third fiddle on this Lakers team, and that's not disrespectful. That's because you have LeBron and Anthony Davis on your squad. So I think it's going to work so much to Russell Westbrook's benefit that not everything is going to be on his shoulders, that he's not even the second best player on this team. He's the third best player on a championship team, has averaged 3 of the last 4 seasons, a triple-double. We know what he could do for this Lakers team, and it's necessary what he provides for the Lakers, especially with LeBron James and the playmaking part, giving LBJ some time to take a breather and not have everything on his shoulders. The LeBron James piece, LBJ was ranked 3rd in this. He was number 1 last season. Now he's 3rd, so he dropped from number 1 to number 3. KD was 1st. Giannis was 2nd. You put LeBron at 3. Maybe some people want to complain about me. Say, well, why isn't LeBron first? Why is he second? I thought Travis Rogers doing the show with him in the morning. I thought Travis had such a great point. This was on Friday. He said, can you just stop for a second and think LeBron, even at this stage of his career, is still top 5 in the NBA? Which he's 100% right. I'll even take it a step further. I really don't care where LeBron is on this list because I know what LeBron's going to do on a night in, night out basis. That's what LeBron does. LeBron James has been not only the best player in the world for X amount of years, every single season, even last year before he got injured, we're talking about him being most valuable player. So I'm not worried about LBJ. The question that I look at, and this is what BT was just explaining, Brad Turner from the LA Times, where is Anthony Davis? And I think for everybody, why AD dropped from number 2 on the list last season to number 9 this year, so in one season drops X amount of spots, it just comes down to availability. That's it, nothing else. Because when Anthony Davis is available, everybody knows how good of a player he is, how effective of a basketball player he is, how dominant of a player he is on both sides of the floor, but it just comes down to his availability. Now, one of the things that I'm hoping for, and we've heard a couple quotes. Vogel had a quote on this. He was on last week on Spectrum Sportsnet, and there was a quote that came out about how AD just looks a certain way when he walks into the Lakers training facility. I don't know if he's referring to, and we'll get a chance, you know, obviously to see him here this week or so. I don't know, is he referring to put on, you know, some mass? Did he put on some weight? Is Anthony Davis, I was, you know, you watch AD, part of the reason what makes him so special is he's, he basically is, he's almost a guard in a 6'11 body. Right, he can bring the ball up the floor. He's just got such an uncanny knack for the game on both sides of the ball. If AD's a top five player in the NBA this year, if he's a top three player in the NBA if he's that high of a rank of an NBA player this upcoming season, and he's available and he's healthy all through the year, it's going to be such a challenge for the entire league to keep up with the Lakers. Period. And that's going to be the biggest question mark. I think, Funches, you tell me you have that sound of Coach Vogel describing AD.
Yes,
okay, let's take a listen.
He put a lot of work this offseason into his body. You know, a lot of work. And we had a moment maybe 2 weeks ago where, you know, he had been training at home, mm-hmm. you know, and we had a lot of conversations about, you know, these are some concerns we have with our team. We think we're going to be good here. I think we're going to be good there. And then he comes in for the workout. It's the first time we had kind of seen him for a while. And his body looked imposing. And we all just looked at each other like, we're going to be really good this year. Just looking at that
exactly
guy right there,
Coach.
Like, we're going to be really good this year.
All right, that's Allie Clifton you hear in the background, Spectrum Sportsnet. So, you know, when I hear that, you know, Funches, I'll kind of get your opinion on this. When you hear that from Coach, look, I don't think Coach is trying to rah-rah anybody. I know there isn't a reason for him to. I think he only says this if he genuinely means it, and that means Anthony Davis probably did some work this offseason. And listen, there's some reasons why he would. A, you're going into – you're going to be 28, or you're 28 years old, you're walking into your prime. B, there was a very disappointing season last year, and this was you coming off a championship the year prior, and you actually had a normal offseason where he can work on things and get healthy. What do you when you hear that, do you kind of start thinking, are we on the precipice of potentially seeing Anthony Davis have his best season that we've ever seen?
If he looks like what Vogel says, I think we're going to see AD probably in a top three candidates for MVP, because that's all AD needed to do, stay healthy and maybe gain a little bit more muscle,
gain a little weight,
gain a little muscle mass. You know, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure tomorrow when you see AD with the Laker uniform on and his guns out, we're gonna see more muscle, and you know, it means that he's gonna destroy the league.
Isn't that funny? Because when I said when LeBron is top three and people want, I'm not even paying attention to LeBron, because we've seen LeBron, this will be his 19th season in the freaking NBA, and he's never disappointed, ever. Every single season, every single game, LeBron James doesn't disappoint. That doesn't mean he doesn't have bad games. That doesn't mean that he doesn't miss free throws when he needs a free throw. That doesn't mean, you know, he's never going to get injured. It just means that much more often than not, LBJ delivers. The AD part that you just said right there, Funch, you said that, that means he's going to be in the conversation, if he's in the conversation for MVP. I've said this will be the third year in a row that I say it, and I was wrong the first 2 years, that it's not about LeBron in the conversation for MVP. It's about AD for the conversation of MVP, because if AD is in that conversation, that means the Lakers are on their way to another championship. We'll obviously have to wait and see, but just kind of hearing him and just hearing Coach Vogel describe what he's already seen, that's got to make Laker fans up.
Let me ask you one more question, Alan. Does AD have to be the Lakers' best player for the Lakers to win a championship this year?
So I think he's the most important player, if that makes sense. When I say most important player, what I'm referring to there is he is the guy that is – locking down dudes on the defensive side, that Lakers are funneling everything to him. And, you know, in key games, he's got two blocks or three blocks. And, oh, by the way, here's 14 rebounds. And he just controls the game on both sides. He's the most important player. When Lakers were eliminated by when he went down against the Phoenix Suns, Funch, and this would be the same thing with LeBron James, but when he went down, when I say, I mean, it was – that was it. It was a wrap. That's how impactful he can be for the Lakers. So to answer your question, does he have to be the best player? No, but I think he's the most important player. I think there's two ways of looking at it. I think you could still be the most important player without being the best player. Okay, I know we got to go to break here, and I still have not got into an hour and 45 minutes into the show. And if you not have not got a chance to hear Dennis Schroeder, former Los Angeles Laker, who was at Celtics Media Day, talk about the Lakers and talk about what happened in the offseason, wants to kind of clear the air a little bit. I'll play that when we come back. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, Lakers taking on the Brooklyn Nets. That's coming up on Sunday. First preseason game for the Lakers. They'll play six preseason games, 82-game grind, and then the obviously march to try and get championship number 18 will begin. It's going to start tomorrow, Media Day tomorrow. So if you don't know, Lakers Media Day tomorrow is from 10 a.m. to noon. Travis and Travis Rogers and I will be doing our show, and we'll have all your coverage. Our show will go till 1 o'clock, and then obviously Mason and Ireland after that, Sedano and Cap. So a lot of Lakers coverage tomorrow, plus Dodgers, final week of the season. So we got a lot going on. Make sure you tune in tomorrow morning. So I want to play something here. Dennis Schroeder, a former Los Angeles Laker. I thought this was interesting. You know, he had his media day today with the Boston Celtics. And I want to play something on specifically him addressing not really fitting with the Lakers and why he didn't ultimately come back.
They wanted to talk, and end of the day, you know, me and my agent decided not to, you know, sign that contract. And end of the day, I feel like for me personally, I got to be comfortable in the environment I'm in. And I love the Lakers organization, and they did, you know, great things. But I think for me, and that's, I mean, that's just business. I don't think I fit it in, you know, 100%. I mean, you know, you play with LeBron and AD, that's two of the best players in the NBA. And I don't think I gave him, you know, everything what I bring to the table. And I mean, for me, my family, you know, I signed a pretty good contract after my fourth year, and my family and myself, we're going to be good. You know, I'm 28 years old. And I'm still, you know, playing the NBA for a long time. And money is not everything at all times. I want to be, you know, comfortable in the situation where I know people appreciate me.
All right, that's Dennis Schroeder right there. So former Los Angeles Laker. Yeah, kind of a lot to take away from that. To be honest with you, I think he's being incredibly honest. The portion that he says that he didn't think he fit. I don't disagree. He says, I don't think I fit in 100%. You play with LeBron James, Anthony Davis, two of the best players in the NBA, and I don't think I gave them everything what I bring to the table. I don't know if I disagree with him. You know, I don't know if let me backtrack here. A lot of the offseason was people talking about how Dennis Schroeder obviously made a critical mistake not signing with the Lakers and how much money he left on the table, and he probably lost. There was reports that the Lakers were offering 4 years, $84 million. He got a one-year contract for under $6 million. So it's obvious from a business perspective how it did not pan out the way he thought it was going to pan out in the offseason. But when the Lakers were eliminated, kind of went out of my way to talk about how I did not want the Lakers to come back with the same team. I didn't like it. I felt like something, you know, if they came back and it was still Dennis Schroeder and it was still Kyle Kuzma and it was still Montrezl Harrell, that I don't know how much would have changed. I don't know if the Lakers, if they would be in a position to go out and win an NBA championship. So Dennis Schroeder explaining his perspective and getting a chance to do it. Obviously, that question is going to come up during media day, just like for the Philadelphia 76ers. The question is going to come up about Ben Simmons. This is the day that questions like that are going to come up, and then they'll come up less and less until the Lakers actually face the Celtics, and he gets hit with those questions again. But I don't think I disagree with him that it wasn't a fit. I don't know if if this is the right way to put it, had somebody tweet at me, you know, if the Lakers dodged a bullet with Dennis Schroeder? Yeah, they probably did. I think in the NBA, any contract that you have, especially that age, I think Schroeder's 27, you could always trade him. It's not like we've seen plenty of examples of that in the NBA. But I don't think Dennis Schroeder was a perfect fit for the Lakers. And frankly, a lot of the stuff that he said and even went into that, you know, they decided not to sign a contract. The extension that was rumored because they didn't think it was a good fit. I think for the Lakers, that's a benefit to them. And now it's up to Dennis Schroeder to go out there, have a good season, and we'll see what he does and see if he gets other contract opportunities. I've mentioned a specific article a number of times in tonight's show, The Athletic. Bill Oram, Sam Amick, and Sham Sharania all did an article together, and a couple of pieces that came out from the starting lineup potentially, from Coach Vogel. It's reported that he signed a one-year extension. Another piece that came out that the Lakers were reportedly targeting Damian Lillard and Bradley Beal before Russell Westbrook. So you kind of felt like the Lakers were going to go big game hunting. And if they were able to do it, there's a lot in that article about DeMar DeRozan, that there was some thought maybe DeMar DeRozan, Lakers can make a fit there. And there was also thought that Buddy Hield was about to happen, that the Sacramento Kings were heated that trade didn't go down with the Sacramento Kings, Buddy Hield and Montrezl Harrell and Kyle Kuzma, because they thought they were at the finish line. And the Lakers eventually found a way and settled for Russell Westbrook. When I say settled, I'm making it sound like I'm underselling it, and I'm not trying to. Russell Westbrook was a big part to do with why he's on the Lakers. There was, you know, part of the story talked about how bad he wanted to be a Los Angeles Laker, and when that deal was about to go down with the Kings, when the rumors were coming down, that he personally called the owner of the Washington Wizards and basically asked him to do him a favor. Took control of the situation was one of the quotes that came out of the article. And Brad Turner kind of talked about this as well. I was asking BT, how much of a concern do you have of the Russell Westbrook fit, so forth, this, that. I think him and I are on the same page. The dude wants to win. That's his biggest priority. He wants to win. And I think that's, you know, the most important thing, that you got a talented player that's at a stage of his career where winning is the most important thing. And I think a lot of Laker fans, you know, starting tomorrow, and we're going to get a chance to hear from Russell Westbrook of what that sacrifice is going to look like, what this is all going to kind of pan out to be, what his role is going to be. And then the beauty is coming up Sunday, Lakers and the Nets, I'm not saying the Lakers are going to go out and play everybody, but they'll finally get a chance to see some basketball and see how this thing is all structured. Any part of the 2 hours that you missed, Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa on the ESPN app or on iTunes. You could download that podcast, listen to that full interview with Brad Turner. Tomorrow is Lakers Media Day. Make sure you stay with 710 ESPN. Don't forget, Travis Rogers and I will start at 10 a.m., and that is when Media Day will start. You'll get to hear from all the stars. LA, as always, greatly appreciate you tuning in. Have a great rest of your night.